Right, there's a few things to cover off this morning. First, I'll start with the US because obviously they're looking towards the Fed's meeting this week. Runs Tuesday, Wednesday, and there's a fair bit of speculation that they may even have to lift their cash rate, their Fed funds rate, by 75 basis points. Still, the consensus is 50 basis points, but that would take it up to either 1.5 or 1.75%. Driving that was the data that came out at the end of last week, and it related to inflation. And it's quite clear that inflation has not yet peaked in the United States. So a bit of a nasty surprise with the consumer price index, where rather than rising 0.7%, as the market has expected, it lifted 1% in the month. And as a result of that, the annual inflation rate has gone up to a new 41-year high of 8.6% year-on-year from 8.3%. So the core CPI too was a touch higher than expected for the month. That was 0.6% rather than 0.5%. Whilst the annual rate came back a touch to 6 from 6.2, the problem is if we keep hovering around the 0.6, we're going to be lifting through the 6s again through the core CPI as well. So that implies that there's a fair bit more work for the Fed to do, and it lifts the chances that the Fed not only does outsized interest rate hikes, but does them meeting after meeting over the course of the next few meetings to try and get the Fed funds rate up to a level which will drag demand back to meet constrained supply and to take some pressure out of the labour market. And the labour market is still very, very strong there. So it's the risk of wages adding to that inflation rate, which is still at the back of people's minds. But obviously, this risk of interest rates going up rather faster in the United States has taken quite a toll in terms of risk assets again. So with that heightened risk that the US slips into recession at some point. So that's the way that people are looking this going into this week. And tonight we get more inflation data, unfortunately. It's at the wholesale price level. This is the May producer price index. And at this point, the market thinks that we'll get a 0.8% increase month on month, compared with the 0.5% going back the month before. That would just edge back slightly the annual rate to 10.9% from 11. But of course, the risk is on the high side. And so if we get an unpleasant surprise there, it just reinforces those expectations going into the Federal Reserve meeting that we get this week. There's plenty of other data coming through the course of this week. It's all going to get lost in the wash, really, with what the Fed decides to do. So, we get things like retail sales coming out for the month of May. During that period while the Fed's meeting, retail sales have been holding up pretty well in the United States. Going back to April, they were up 0.9% month on month. They are expected to come back a bit to around 0.2%. And right at the end of last week, we had the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey came out for the month of June. There was quite a pullback in that, down to 50.2 from 58.4. So clearly at the edge, consumers are starting to become more worried. But so far, they've been spending up pretty strongly because we still have these supports for strong US growth for the time being. We'll get some of the regional manufacturing survey data coming out. And again, these could be quirky. We've got the Empire State survey from New York State coming out tonight. And that slipped into negative territory last month, but is expected to bounce back out to positive territory. And this all comes down to the manufacturing sector in the US is really pounding along because all those supply side constraints, particularly affecting imports, US manufacturers are having to try and take up the slack on that. So their books are full. They're still running along very, very fast. And this is the conundrum for the US at the moment, that you've still got the real economy, which has still got some power behind it and is still growing. But of course, if you keep punching interest rate increases into that economy, at some point it's going to crumble. And so that's the risk that lies ahead. Turning, just briefly referring to the FOMC meeting, we'll get their interest rate forecasts from the Fed as well for the next couple of years. And this is where there's probably still a bit of work to be done, because both the market and also the Fed seem to believe that, you know, the peak for interest rates for the United States is going to be in the low to mid threes. Given, you know, where we've got inflation running in the United States and where realistically it may come back to next year, it's very, very hard to see how the Fed can get away without taking the funds rate at some point to around 4%. That's still a bit above where the market's anticipating. So, you know, we've still got some of these pressure points which are running through. It'll be interesting to see whether that comes through the Fed meeting. We'll know what the Fed decision is Thursday morning our time. So it's a two-day meeting. And as I say, at this stage, the market's split between a 50 basis point increase and a whopping 75 basis points. So running into that, obviously, market's going to be quite nervous. China last week, and Chinese economy, it's sort of through the bottom. Now, when I say it's through the bottom, their Q2 GDP, when they release that in the middle of July, by all rights should have a negative sign on the front of it. There's a lot of talk in China, though, that the statistical agency has been pressured to make sure it has a positive on the front of it. It won't be a particularly believable figure if that's what happens, because you know, we've got, for example, retail sales, which were running at minus 11% year on year. So in May, very, very hard to get a positive GDP read out of that when you get to Q2, but that's where the pressure point is. But there are some signs that there's a little bit of a lift in parts of the Chinese economy. So, for example, exports have lifted to 16.9% year-on-year in May, from 3.9% going back the month before. Imports lifted to 4.1% from zero. So that's a sign that, you know, they're starting to demand is starting to run again a little bit in China. One benefit that China is getting out of that weaker growth, they haven't got the same inflation pressure running through there that we have elsewhere. That gives a bit of flexibility for the People's Bank of China too, to ease policy when other central banks are actually tightening policy. So the May CPI came out and it held at 2.1% year on year. Producer prices, which at one point running 11% year on year, by the time we got to April, we're down to 8% year-on-year, and for the most recent month, we're down to 6.4% year-on-year. So, you know, that's going in a different direction from other economies too. They're over that peak, if anything, for their inflation pressure points, because their economy's been running rather weaker. So there's a bit more flexibility in China to do things, but, you know, the interesting part is they've had another surge in Omicron over the course of the past week, and they were showing some signs of actually starting to ease up some restrictions, actually going in the opposite direction again. So we've got some pushing and pulling running through the Chinese economy as well. On Wednesday, we'll get the latest run of data out of China, and we get things like May fixed asset investment spending. That's expected to come back a touch to 6% year-on-year from 6.8%. Industrial production, which was running minus 2.9% year-on-year going back to April, expected to sort of improve to minus 0.5%. And retail sales too, which, as I mentioned, in April were running minus 11.1% year-on-year, expected to improve a little bit to minus 7.3%. Now moving to Australia, and of course we had a big change last week, really, in the attitude of the Reserve Bank. They decided to hike by 50 basis points rather than the 25 basis points that I was thinking. They've taken the cash rate up to 0.85% from 0.35%. I'll be writing a bit about this today, but obviously we have to change view. Basically, before, my view was that the Reserve Bank had the luxury to move the cash rate up relatively slowly and at a measured pace. Now it appears they're joining the ranks of the banks that have been wrong-footed by inflation picking up, and they want to get on top of it relatively quickly. So that does imply that they will be moving interest rates up rather faster over the course of the next few months. Previously, I thought they'd take the cash rate up to perhaps 1.1% by the end of this year. Given this last meeting, it looks as if that's going to be about a percentage point higher than that. So they're going to try and get the cash rate up pretty quickly to around about 2.1% by the end of this year. But that does mean that we'll slow things pretty much quicker here too. At the moment, we've got a lot of momentum running through the economy. But obviously, if we start to raise interest rates rather quicker, there's going to be some fractures. And this is, if you want to look around the world at the central bank that's giving the clearest indication of what their what the new policy is, trying to contain inflation, look no further than the RBNZ. We had Adrian Orr, the governor of the RBNZ, talking a bit over a week ago, and he was literally laying it out and saying that when you've got supply side constraints and you've got demand which is racing along very, very strongly, you have no choice. You have to break something. You have to sort of literally pull demand back down to meet the constraints of supply. No other central banks have been quite as blunt about it as that, although all of them tacitly, that's exactly what they got to do. So, yeah, that's basically the regime we're in now. And, of course, when you're in the regime where you've got to try and pull demand back with higher interest rates, the chances are you break something. And so the recession risk starts to build quite substantially when you're getting into that sort of policy area. And that appears to be where the RBA shifted to over the course of this past week. So lifting interest rates rather more aggressively to get on top of the inflation problem. The flip side to that is you probably don't have to lift the cash rate quite as high as otherwise would be the case. So I'm thinking now that they're probably able to peak the cash rate out at somewhere around about 2.6% in the first half of next year. And it's now conceivable that by the end of 2023, going into 2024, we could be on the other side of this where they're starting to bring interest rates down again. But just watching things as they develop, but this new change towards more aggressive monetary policy tightening by the RBA, it does have those implications. So it implies that the risk of weaker growth ahead. That's not where we are at the moment, though. At the moment, conditions are still pretty strong, and that's what we'll see through things like the NAB survey coming out today. Business conditions, business profitability is actually quite high, and so we'll see that. Going back a month ago, the April NAB business survey on business conditions was at plus 20, very, very strong reading. Probably won't be much below that, even for the one we get today. We're also going to get at 11:30 today Q1 house prices, a bit dated, and we're not quite yet into the falling house prices in Q1, so that's more into the Q2 report when that comes through. But we're going to get quite a bit of slippage. If you went back to Q4 last year, according to the ABS, house prices went up by 4.7% quarter on quarter. The market consensus is that it'll be a 1.4% quarter on quarter lift for Q1. Q2, of course, is going to have a negative sign on the front of it, but that's 3 months ahead of us before we catch up with that price change. Also, this week, we've got the latest in labour force data. This one is still going to be pretty strong. So we know the labour force is still tight. A lot of companies still trying to look for labour, can't get it. It looks as if employment lifted around 25,000, the market thinks, compared with 4,000 going back the month before. If we hold the participation rate at 66.3%, where it was the month before, the unemployment rate comes down a notch to 3.8% from 3.9%. And that will be the lowest unemployment rate since, it's a new low for the unemployment rate since 1974. So we go back a very long way before we've seen an unemployment rate as low as that. But, of course, that's one of the issues for the Reserve Bank now. We have got a very, very tight labour market. Even though we've had past fairly modest wage growth, obviously that's going to be accelerating as we march ahead. And it's another one of those factors which is just making the RBA a little bit more aggressive than we previously thought likely. Just moving to Europe. And last week we had revised Q1 GDP data. Interesting revision because it was revised up quite a bit. From 0.3% quarter on quarter to 0.6. So as a result of that, the year-on-year growth rate for Europe is 5.4%. But obviously it's not going to stay at that. And this was a factor for the ECB when they met last week. They're still worried that the energy crisis in Europe and the sanctions which Europe is going to be imposing by the end of this year on imports from Russia, that will tip the European economy much, much weaker and possibly into recession on its own. And so it's one of the reasons why, even though Europe has a very high inflation rate, the ECB is still balking at lifting interest rates. And so they made no change to interest rates, but they have moved towards quantitative tightening. So, they're a foot in two camps there. You know, they've moved towards quantitative tightening from quantitative easing, but still just holding the interest rate structure, probably not for much longer. Even with a very soft outlook, they may have to be moving those rates before very, very long. This week in Europe, we don't get a lot of data coming out. We get things like industrial production, which should be okay, probably up about 0.5% after falling the month before. We'll get an economic sentiment survey, which will probably look quite soft for June. It was actually quite firm at plus 29.5. If anything, that will fall away quite a bit when we see that report coming through this week. But the story this week is that that everybody's watching the Fed and what it does, and also the next inflation read that comes out of the US. Some of the things that run off the back of this, obviously we've got weakness ahead of us in the most interest rate sensitive parts of markets, but we're also probably not far away from seeing a change in interest rate structures, particularly in the shape of yield curves, where at some point you would expect that longer-term bond yields stop rising, if anything, even edge back a bit. But short-term bond yields are still marching up. And I would think that we're going to be marching towards much flatter and possibly even inverse yield curves before we go too much further. The risk from what central banks are doing now is very much leaning towards a recession at some point,